text. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents Amuse Entertainment Production. Title: Framed for Murder, a Fixer-Upper Mystery. A pitch black night at a harbor. A shadowy figure carrying a small bag in one hand walks up the dock past large yachts. The figure steps onto one of the boats. Opening credits, Jewel. Colin Ferguson, Aaron Karpluck, Ron Lee, Colin Lawrence, Laura Soltis, Marcus Rosner. The shadowy figure removes an item from the bag, a timer strapped to a package labeled Danger Explosive. The timer begins to count down from 9 hours, ticking every second. Morning at the harbor. A man carrying a shoulder bag and fishing poles. The man places his fishing poles against the boat. The scene timer reads 18 seconds, still ticking. The man steps into the control deck and flips several switches. The boat, Springtide 1, is sailing out in open water. The timer is now ticking from 6 seconds. As the boatman looks out over the water, the boat explodes into flames. Fade to black. A gate over a bridge reads Lighthouse Cove. Cars pass the sign. Then, we fly over a country town. Several balloons are attached to a porch. The signs nearby read Hennessy Manor, grand opening today. Inside, a woman is adjusting the light fixtures on a chandelier.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Moment of truth?
She smiles as she flips the lights on.
What do you think?
Oh, Shannon. It's gorgeous. Thank you so much for coming and helping me install it last minute.
I am so glad the chandelier showed up in time for the opening.
Yeah.
I know it'd give this room a nice warm glow.
The two women enter the dining room. Shannon takes a piece of food.
Hey.
Sorry, I'm starving.
Wait a minute, I thought that, what's his name? My loan officer, he asked you out for lunch.
Oh, yeah, he asked. What? I told you, I'm done with dating for a while. Ugh, I might be great at fixing up old houses, but man, not so much.
You know what, I wouldn't mind a guy that needed a little fixing up, unless he was nice.
Well, now that you have this place, I know a nice guy is going to walk through the door. He'll rent a room from you.
Just make sure Mr. Nice Guy passes muster with me before you let him sweep you off your feet.
Oh, Uncle Jesse! Oh, I'm so glad you made it.
And you must be the yoga teacher I've been hearing so much about.
Make that the yogi. Althea keeps telling me the proper term is yogi, not yoga teacher.
Sorry.
See? I'm learning.
So glad to finally meet you, Jennifer. These are for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, these are beautiful.
Just like this place.
Nicest bed and breakfast in town. You must have hired yourself one talented contractor.
Oh, well, you know I did. Althea, this is like my best friend since forever. This is Shannon Hughes.
Shannon also built those cabinets you like so much in my kitchen.
Well, then, you're a marvel.
I take all the credit for her carpentry skills.
Well, I think I had something to do with it. I did take her to work with me every summer.
Hey. Yes, Dad. Hey, where's the third musketeer? I know wherever you two are, Ned can't be far behind.
Oh, Shannon, remember that Ned isn't really talking to Jesse right now.
Now, the Hennessy Manor is teeming with people. Two children run through the hallways. Uncle Jesse addresses the crowd.
Jennifer used to come visit me every summer. And I take her out on my boat. We were on the lookout for mermaids, of course. Oh, you laugh, but I saw one out past Pine Point back in 95. Mermaid gliding through the waves, sun glinting off her fins. It was beautiful.
That's a young man approaches Shannon.
Jesse's still telling his tall tales, I see.
Stephen, hey. Nice to see you. I didn't know you were back in town.
Yeah, I rolled in last night.
Is your dad with you?
No. He is at home, sulking over Yoga Lady, picking Jesse over him.
Oh, really is serious.
Yeah. Speaking of which, hey, Jesse, Tell the story about how you found Blackbeard's treasure on one of your dives, huh?
Okay, one at a time.
No. I want to hear the one where you found the necklace, the one that belonged to the Spanish princess.
Hey. I thought that we were supposed to be talking about me.
That's right. That's right. This is all my way of saying that Jennifer has always tried to make her guests feel comfortable and happy. And I know that anyone who stays at the Hennessy Manor is going to leave with a smile on their face. So here's to my wonderful niece, Jenny, and her new enterprise.
Shannon glances over at the mantel. A serious-looking man is leaning against the wall. Later, Jennifer approaches Shannon.
So, I didn't realize that Stephen was back in town. What are you looking at? Who is that guy? He looks familiar.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen him before.
Why does it look like he's casing the place?
It's a good question.
Shannon.
Shannon approaches the serious-looking man.
Can I help you? You seem to be looking for something.
Looking for someone. The owner of Hughes Restoration, is he here?
Well, I don't know. Who should I tell him is asking?
Well, who am I talking with? Are you his assistant?
Careful. Don't dig the hole too deep.
All right. Not his assistant, clearly. Bodyguard.
I tell you what, why don't you give me your information and I will do my very best to pass it along.
I have the number of the company. I'll call it if I need it. I'll just let myself out. Thank you for, sort of helping me.
He attempts to open a large door.
It's, Drake.
Good luck. Oh no, is he gone? I know where I've seen him.
Jennifer presents a book.
McIntyre Sullivan. Investigative reporter.
Yeah, okay, so this book is about a big murder case that happened last year in Idaho. Shannon, it gave me chills.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you met the writer. Ran into him at the hardware store. He just bought the old Craddock house, wants to renovate it. I gave him your card, Shannon. Told him to come down and check out your work.
Shannon, that could be a huge job.
Yeah. Yeah. Would have been. Pretty sure I just lost it.
We fly over the countryside. Shannon drives a truck into a driveway, the words Hughes Restoration printed on the side. Jesse parks across the street. They both get out, each holding Tupperware.
I see Jenny sent you home with leftovers too.
Yeah, as always.
From inside the house across the street, an older man peeks through the blinds at Jesse. Stephen enters the room.
Hey, Dad. What you looking at? You need to get over it. Start showing up again.
I sent you, didn't I?
Okay, I am going out. I will see you in the morning.
Stephen puts on a windbreaker and walks out. His dad continues spying through the blinds. Nighttime. Clouds pass over the full moon. Jesse lays in bed, eyes closed. The alarm clock nearby reads 2:47. He sits up slowly. Now, he walks down the staircase. As he turns a corner at the landing, a shadowy figure passes below, unseen. He turns a corner and enters a dark room. He notices the window open and the curtains blowing in the breeze. He walks over and looks out the window. The shadowy figure approaches from behind. The man turns, eyes wide. Sunrise over a lighthouse. Shannon exits her house, dressed. She notices Pete loading a car with Stephen and his dad. She walks down her porch and approaches Pete.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, darling.
I thought you weren't going fishing till Friday.
Jesse made other plans, so Ned called me at 5 this morning and said we might as well go.
And then he woke me up and talked me into going too.
Yeah, I gotta keep a close eye on him. Make sure he's still sane.
Oh, I quit my finance job. I want to be a chef, and
Dad's not exactly thrilled about it.
Well, I am.
Love your job and you never have to work another day in your life?
Oh, sure, sure. You can say that. Your daughter hasn't quit her job.
Oh, yeah, which reminds me. I'm going to go finish Mrs. Wallace's catio.
Catio? What's that?
It's this patio. It's enclosed, but it's for cats. It has perches and ramps and, hey, you can't say I don't get interesting work.
I forgot my lures. I'm going to go ask Jesse for some.
Pete, come on. I got lots. Let's go.
Yeah, Pete, let's just get the show on the road.
Pete shakes his head, then hugs Shannon.
See you later.
Have fun.
Now, Shannon drives the truck down a country road. She sees a car pulled over on the shoulder. A man in a suit outside the car is holding a phone to his ear. She pulls up behind. As Shannon approaches, she sees it's Mac, from the manor opening.
Oh no. So you're Hughes Restoration?
Shannon Hughes. That's me. And you're McIntyre Sullivan, famous crime reporter.
Well, still getting used to the famous part, but yeah, call me Mac.
Flat tire?
Yeah, yeah. I have AAA. They'll be an hour or so.
Pop your trunk. I'll have a spare on in like 5 minutes.
No. I appreciate the offer, but I can't stand there and watch you change my tire.
Because I might break a nail.
Mac grins sheepishly.
You're killing me. Not like I don't know how to change a tire. Just I didn't want to mess up my suit. I got a meeting. It's in the city this morning.
Yeah, no, I get it.
This is awful.
You wouldn't want to wreck that snazzy suit.
No, it's just my ego getting wrecked.
So Jesse tells me that you bought the Craddock estate.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not the wisest real estate purchase.
No, it's a really beautiful mansion.
No, it is. It is. And it matches this image I have of myself as a writer. You know, it's a surprising thing when your book suddenly hits the bestseller list and you can afford all sorts of things. I had no idea I wanted a drafty old manor that needs major work, which is why I went looking for you yesterday.
Yeah, and I chased you away. Sorry about that.
Nah. You know, the work you did in the B&B was stellar.
Thank you.
Maybe come by the house this afternoon and tell me how it could return it to its former glory.
Shannon smiles, standing.
I would love the chance to work on that house. That would be amazing.
It's a date. Appointment. It's an appointment.
They shake hands.
I guess you can't meet me if you can't get home.
Now, Shannon and Jennifer on the phone.
I know. I changed his tire. I'm going to his house later today to give him an estimate.
Shannon, that's amazing. That house, it's huge.
He said he wants to restore the whole thing. He said money is no object.
You're kidding.
This is going to be the biggest job I have ever had. The most challenging job I've ever had.
Yeah, and you know what? You're going to do a great job for him just like you did for me.
Oh! You okay?
Yeah, I just dropped my spoon. I'm trying to bake.
Jesse, it's Shannon.
You and Uncle Jesse's?
Yeah, I stopped by to thank him for giving my card to Mac, but he's not answering.
You know what? I tried calling him this morning.
He's probably with Althea.
I don't think so. His car's in the driveway.
You know what? Do me a favor. There's a key underneath the flower pot. Can you go in and check on him for me?
Really? It seems kind of weird just to walk in.
No, it's fine. Tell him I was worried.
All right. Okay, bye.
Shannon lifts the flower pot on the porch, revealing a door key. She opens the front door and enters.
Jesse!
She walks into the front hallway, glancing into the kitchen.
Jesse, it's Shannon!
She steps into the den and finds Jesse laid on the floor, motionless.
Oh no, Jesse.
She crouches and holds her fingers to his neck, then shakes her head sadly. Now, in the same house, Shannon sits in the kitchen as police officers pass through the rooms. A young man in uniform pauses as he sees Shannon, then turns and enters the kitchen.
Hey, I just gotta say again how sorry I am. I know how close you were to Jesse.
Yesterday he was making everybody laugh at Jennifer's grand opening, and now it's like... What are they doing?
A stretcher with a white sheet over it passes by.
Aren't you guys supposed to call a forensics team before they move the body?
That's only if we suspect foul play.
You mean you don't?
You mean you do?
Well, I just...
Shannon ponders.
Something feels wrong.
Hey, it is wrong. For him to go in that kind of a freak accident?
You're sure it was an accident?
Oh, the medical examiner, she was in there with Chief Jensen, and she said it was obviously a slip and fall.
Okay. Come here.
She leads him into the den.
I noticed this earlier. Look at this.
She crouches.
These divots in the carpet, it's like the couch has been moved. Oh, and the screws.
She indicates the grate.
This grate has been taken off and put back on.
What do you make of this, Chief?
Well, it looks like Jesse had his furnace fixed.
He comes to me for repairs. No, this grate has definitely been taken off and put back on. I'm a contractor. It's my job to notice these things.
You know, I'm still not clear as to why the state of the furnace grate matters, you know, right now.
Well, doesn't it seem odd to you?
Yeah, she was wondering why we're not bringing forensics in.
Forensics? Well, we would if there were signs of forced entry or a struggle near the body. But we don't see any of that here. Now, if the autopsy shows us anything different, we'll let you know.
The chief turns and walks off. Shannon turns to the young cop.
Back in school, you're always the girl with her hand up, never satisfied with the answers in the book.
That's not what this is about, Tommy.
This is about what happened to your mom.
Tommy leans closer.
Shannon, I promise I'll ask the coroner all the right questions, okay? But first, do you want to be the one to tell Jennifer, or should I?
Oh, I will.
They nod. Tommy walks out. Shannon leans against the den wall. At Jennifer's house, Shannon hugs Jennifer as she sobs.
I don't get it. It's just been so unfair, you know?
I know, it's senseless.
Like he's the best man in the whole world. And he's been so happy lately.
It's devastating. I don't know what to say.
Althea enters.
There you are, Jennifer. I want to drop off your dish. I'd stay and chat, but I want to go check on Jesse.
He normally calls every morning to say good morning. What is it? What's wrong?
Althea, something terrible has happened.
Althea, Jesse is dead.
No. That can't be.
My Jesse?
I found him in his den this morning. I think he died sometime in the middle of the night.
I don't understand.
I know, I don't either. It's awful.
How did he die?
The police think he fell and hit his head, but I don't know.
I mean, this can't be happening.
Shannon answers her cell.
Hello.
I'm so sorry.
This is Shannon.
Glad to hear it. This is Mac. You know, the guy with the dilapidated house you're supposed to be giving an estimate on right now?
Oh, yes. Hi. Can you hang on just a minute, please? It's the writer. I was supposed to give him that quote today. I'm going to tell him I can't make it.
No, don't you dare. You're not going to miss out on the biggest job you've ever had.
Shannon, no. I'll stay with Jennifer.
No, I'll just reschedule.
Shannon, Jesse would want you to go. You just go, okay? We're fine.
Jennifer nods. Shannon turns.
Can I still meet you a little bit later? I can be there in a little while. Okay.
Now, Shannon walks through a field with the water behind. She approaches a large estate house and waves, smiling. Max stands on the porch. Shannon clears her throat and approaches. Inside the house, the furnishings are cluttered and dirty.
Tell me I didn't make a mistake buying this place. I mean, this thing sat empty for 20 years.
No, most people can't see past the dirt and the cobwebs, but this place has great bones. It's really a beautiful location. When we get done, it's going to be stunning.
I hope so.
Oh, look, that's our lighthouse.
That's where General Craddock turned back the invading French.
Craddock's the guy who built this place.
Yeah, that's him.
I actually read that the foundation of this house is built of the same stone they used to build the fort. It's still there.
Oh.
Shannon on a ladder.
This molding's really spectacular.
Yeah, you can't buy this stuff at the hardware store.
It's just a little bit of cracking, but nothing we can't repair.
Great.
Shannon holds a clipboard.
This mantle, classic Victorian.
She examines the fireplace. A small statue of an angel sits on the mantle. Shannon stares, lost in thought.
You and that angel having a private conversation?
Shannon turns to Mac.
I'm sorry. I should have rescheduled today. After I changed your tire, I found out my friend Jesse passed away.
Jesse Hennessy? He was the friendly guy at the hardware store who gave me your card.
Yeah, it's him. A beautiful, lovely guy, and he's gone, and I can't get myself to believe it, and I should probably just go.
Shannon turns and walks over to an old sofa and sits. Mac watches, eyes wide. He walks over and sits beside her.
I'm really sorry.
Thank you.
You know, for what it's worth, I think the old cliche is true. That the people we love live on inside of us. Although I don't think that helps if you're mad you can't be with them anymore.
That's exactly how I feel.
You want someone to realize it's a mistake and fix it.
Exactly.
In my job, I was around a lot of people at the worst moments in their lives, and I could never decide what was harder to deal with, a purposeful crime or a senseless accident.
What if you don't know which one it is? You know, I should get your quote. Is it okay if I email it to you?
Yeah. Yeah, I won't have internet up and running for a couple days, but I'll get it.
Oh, no, you don't plan on staying here while we renovate, do you?
Well, like you said, some of the rooms are in decent shape.
Hang on. Let me show you something.
She leads him over to a large column nearby. She holds a small vial.
I'm sure this entire house is covered in lead paint. We'll test it, but it would be a health hazard to let you stay here while we renovate.
I just gave up my place. I have to be out by Saturday.
Well, I know a very nice bed and breakfast you could stay at.
No, with the tourists coming and going, that's not a great place for a writer to work.
I do have another option.
She leads him through a yard to a small cabin.
This is the first structure I ever put up by myself to prove to my dad and me, I guess, that I was ready to strike out on my own.
Right here in my own backyard.
This is your starter project.
Not big, but it's cozy. I lived here when I was renovating my place. Do you think you can work here?
Yeah, I can feel the sentence is forming already. How much is rent?
No rent.
No rent?
No, not if my working on your house is the reason you can't be there. Why don't you go in, check it out, see if it's up to your standards.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine.
He opens a bright green door and steps inside. Shannon walks to the front of the yard. Across the street at Jesse's house, Althea and Jennifer are getting out of a car. Shannon approaches.
Are you okay?
No, not really. You know, when I still have to deal with the mortuary.
They need instructions on what to do with Jesse's body. Jennifer thought his wishes might be in his will, so I brought her over to help her look before I head home.
I'll help too.
Thanks, Shannon.
As they walk up to the front door, a gray-haired man glowers at them, sitting inside his parked car nearby, a blue hatchback. Inside the house, Shannon checks a drawer, looking through papers. Shannon glances up at a photo on the wall.
I love this picture.
Jesse and Ned, Stephen's father, smile holding a salvaged sextant.
Look at Jesse and Ned. So pleased with themselves.
The sextant they found on that salvage dive? It's in the Maritime Museum.
I know. That's where I met the two of them. They made me laugh until I cried with their stories.
I heard it was Ned who asked you out first.
Yeah, but it was Jesse who signed up for my yoga class. And he tried so hard just to impress me. That's how he stole my heart.
Althea gazes at the picture, then leans her head on Shannon's shoulder. Mac walks to the front yard. He notices the gray-haired man.
Hi!
He approaches the hatchback.
Can I help you?
The hatchback pulls away. Mac chases after it, then stops running, staring at it. In Jesse's house, Jennifer sits on the bed. She picks up a ring box on the nightstand and opens it. Her face breaks, and she glances out toward the others. Downstairs in the kitchen, Shannon and Althea open cupboard.
These cupboards, they're a mess.
That's a man for you.
Not Jesse. I used to tease him, he was practically OCD. He kept things really tidy.
Jennifer enters.
Shannon, guys, look what I found.
Althea, it looks like Jesse was planning on asking you to marry him.
He said he had a special night planned for Friday.
Oh, Althea.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, that sounds like my car.
They step out onto the porch.
What in the world?
Oh, I knew it was my car.
The back window is smashed.
Althea, someone broke into your car.
Oh.
Shannon glances around the area.
We need to call the police.
Nothing's missing but my tote bag and a yoga mat. Nothing important.
We should still call the police and take a photo for the insurance.
How can I care about police reports and insurance claims right now? The man I love just died.
You're right. You shouldn't worry about any of this.
You know what, Shannon? I'm gonna take Althea inside.
And don't worry. I'll take pictures just in case.
Okay.
Jennifer leads Althea away.
I don't believe this.
Shannon answers her cell phone.
Dad, hey.
Hey, darling, back in cell phone range. I saw that you called. Everything okay?
Something terrible's happened. Jesse's dead.
What?
Pete turns to Ned and Steven.
No, I can't have heard that right. Tell me I didn't hear that right.
Everything okay?
I'm so sorry.
What happened?
I found him in his den. The police think that he fell and hit his head.
Jesse's dead.
Ned and Steven look at each other. Behind Shannon, the blue hatchback is parked.
It's awful.
Oh, sweetheart, I'll be home as soon as I can. You gonna be okay?
I mean, I think so. I don't know what I feel anymore.
As Shannon walks off, in Jesse's driveway, the gray-haired man is crouched behind Jesse's parked car, holding the tote bag. Nighttime, a crescent moon overhead. Shannon sits at home at her desk, looking at color samples. She turns and approaches the front door. She looks out. Across the street in Jesse's house, a flashlight shines through the blinds. Shannon dashes over and gets her cell phone and picks up a hammer.
Yes, I'd like to report a break-in happening right now, 1120 Ambleside.
Shannon dashes out of her front door. She runs into the street. Mac pulls up and skids to a stop in his car.
Shannon! You okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so.
What are you doing? Why are you in the middle of the street?
There's someone in Jesse's house.
Okay, better call the police.
I called him. I'm not letting this guy get away.
You... Shannon!
She runs up to Jesse's door.
I don't like this idea.
Mac follows. They crouch on the porch.
I don't see anything, do you?
No, it's too dark.
Shannon peeks under the flower bot.
The key is missing. What's that? He's getting out the back.
Stay here. I got this.
Mac dashes around to the back of the house. Mac looks around. A police car pulls up. Two officers get out.
They went out back.
All right, you stay here. We'll take care of this.
They dash behind. Mac sees a shadowy figure with a flashlight.
Hey!
Mac attempts to open the gate separating him and the figure.
He jumped the fence!
Mac attempts to jump the fence.
Freeze!
Mac freezes.
Got the wrong guy! Get down and put your hands up where I can see them!
Mac hops down and raises his hands, slowly turning.
The guy you want just went over the fence.
Do it!
Okay. Hands behind your back.
Shannon appears.
That's not the guy that broke into the house. That's my tenant.
As I said, the guy you want just jumped over the fence. What are you waiting for? Get after him.
This is Unit 17. Witness reports the suspect escaped over the back fence, 1120 Ambleside. Officer Nisbet is in pursuit. Notified Chief Jensen.
You okay? Did he hurt you?
No, not unless he counted all the bruises to my ego.
Well, I'll try and get him to take the handcuffs off.
Later, the chief interviews Mac inside Jesse's house.
Now you don't remember anything else about this guy.
That's all I could see. You made him hide. It was hard to tell a build with the bulky black jacket, but I know he had a bit of a hard time getting over the fence.
By the time Officer Nisbet got over the fence, the suspect had fled. He didn't see anything either.
Okay. We'll have Nisbet canvass the area. Maybe one of the neighbors saw something.
Shannon enters the den. She adjusts the photo of Jesse and Ned.
Why Jesse's place?
We've seen this sort of thing before. You know, when someone dies, thieves know the house is empty, so they break in.
He didn't break in. He used the key from under the flower pot. It was missing, and the front door was open.
Then it was someone Jesse knew.
Or it was someone who was smart enough to look under the flower pot.
To search for what he couldn't find last night.
Wait, you're saying it was the same person who was here last night? The night that Jesse died?
I noticed some things out of place this morning. And then later this afternoon, when I was here with Jennifer and Althea, like, somebody was searching for something.
Okay, a loose bird is great, or a few things out of place is not proof of a search. Now, that room that you were just in, that's what a place looks like when someone is trying to find something to steal.
What if he used the key under the flower pot, but had to be more careful because Jesse was home? What if Jesse woke up? He caught the guy searching the den. What if Jesse didn't fall, but he was attacked?
You're suggesting Jesse may have been murdered.
Someone was looking for something tonight, and someone broke into Jesse's
car. All right, you know what? Let's just hop off the speculation train right now.
Chief, I gotta say, I've been covering crime in the city for 20 years. What she's saying sounds plausible.
I'm not saying it's not plausible. I'm saying we have no evidence.
You haven't even looked for evidence, as far as I can see.
The chief turns to Shannon.
Sorry.
Now, what I was about to say was, out of an abundance of caution, we will seal off this house and we will process it as a crime scene until we get Jesse's autopsy results.
Thank you.
Ned stands on his own porch, arms folded, staring at the police tape outside Jesse's house. He watches a cop walk up the porch steps with a flashlight and returns inside.
You're right, it's not a coincidence this guy broke into Jesse's house only a few hours after someone broke into his girlfriend's car.
Yeah, he smashed the window, stole the bag no more than 15 minutes after I gave you the keys to the cottage. Oh, hey, hang on. I have a picture.
She takes out her phone.
Hold on.
Shannon zooms in on the hatchback in the photo.
I saw that blue hatchback when I was leaving, and it was parked in exactly the same spot. The driver had white hair. He was in his 50s. When I approached the car, he drove off.
But the car's still there in the picture.
Well, he probably came back after I left. I mean, maybe you came out of the house faster than expected after he smashed that window.
Can you tell if that was the same guy you saw jumping over the fence?
No, but it's gotta be, right? I mean, I should have gotten a license plate. Normally, I'd have done that.
Does that mean this guy's been tracking Althea? That he followed her to Jennifer's and then over to Jesse's?
Possibly. Yeah.
I'm going to talk to Althea first thing in the morning. I'll show her the picture and see if she knows anything that could help us.
I'll come with you.
Thank you. But don't you have a masterpiece to be writing?
Yeah, but I'm also an investigative reporter, and I can't resist a knot that needs unraveling. The question is, why are you pushing this? I mean, why not wait for the police?
Well, let's just say that I have paid a huge price. waiting for the police to take action when I knew something was wrong. Never again.
Daytime. Mac and Shannon at the yoga studio.
Oh, Shannon. I wanted to see you.
This is Mac Sullivan, the writer.
Hello, Althea. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I wish we were meeting under better circumstances. It's been a sad, sad time for all of us.
I can only imagine.
Althea, we were wondering if you had a few moments to talk.
Sure.
Now, Althea looks at Shannon's phone.
I've never seen this car before. I didn't even notice it yesterday. I don't understand why you would think this person would be looking for something of Jesse's in my car.
Well, we're not sure if he is. It's just that you've been spending the most time with Jesse lately, so.
Did he give you any presents recently? Even something that didn't seem to have any value?
Jesse wasn't materialistic. He believed in sharing experiences. He took me places, but didn't give me things.
Did he mention anything he was working on? Maybe a secret project?
Jesse didn't keep secrets.
It's true. Everything Jesse did became a story he shared with everyone, especially his salvage dives.
Well, did he talk to either one of you about something he found, something he was excited about?
You mean besides a mermaid? Blackbeard's treasure. Let's see, there was the one about the lost necklace of the Spanish princess.
All his stories were about entertaining us. Anyway, he told me he donated anything worthwhile to the Maritime Museum here in Lighthouse Cove. Oh, that must be a delivery. Would you excuse me for a minute?
Althea steps away.
I guess Althea is at a dead end.
Max sits across from Shannon.
There's no such thing as a dead end. We keep looking until we find another way, and I know exactly where to look next.
The Maritime Museum.
The museum.
Here we go. The Jesse Hennessy collection. We have a ship's wheel from the Lorena, which sank in 1943. Not far from our very own lighthouse. We have a turn-of-the-century diver's boot and a lovely captain's tea service from a ship that sank in 1901. You hardly ever see a full set intact like this. And here it is, the pride and joy of the museum. Our oldest piece. It's a sextant from the San Mateo, a Spanish ship which sank off the coast of Florida in 1788. It took 2 years for Jesse to be granted his claim on this. The government of Spain took everything he found, but let him keep this as payment. The day he got the papers, he signed them over to us.
Carol, did Jesse find anything new? I mean, I know he hadn't been on any dives lately, but...
No, nothing new. And believe me, I asked him every time I saw him.
The last time you asked him, did he say he was planning on making a new donation?
No. He just kept saying the same thing he's been saying for the past year.
What was that?
I got something big coming for you, Carol. Something that'll make this museum famous.
Shannon and Mac with the chief at the police station.
But after what Carol just told us?
Okay, now first off, Jesse was full of fictions. But even if he did have something big to donate, that'd only give us reasons as to why someone may want to rob Jesse's house. Not a reason to suspect murder.
What about the blue hatchback, the picture we just showed you?
Yeah, I even gave you a description of the driver.
All right, look. Now, the autopsy confirmed that Jesse took a fall and struck his head, probably on the edge of the fireplace in the den.
How can anyone know if he fell or was pushed?
All right, Shannon, the coroner found prescription sleeping medication in his blood. Now, a drug that would make anyone groggy or unsure of their footing in the middle of the night.
Oh, so you don't mind hopping on the speculation train as long as it's headed in the other direction?
All right, listen. Right now, Jesse died, and you want a reason. You want someone to blame. But there's no one to blame here, Shannon. There hasn't been a crime. So do me a favor. Just go home. Mourn the passing of a good man. Go on with your life.
The chief turns and walks off. Shannon frowns and turns away. Shannon and Mac exit the police station onto the sidewalk.
Maybe Chief Jensen's right. Maybe I'm trying too hard to make sense of something that'll never make sense, and I should just quit obsessing and focus on your renovation. And what are you doing? You're not listening to me.
Where's my phone?
Why? What do you need your phone?
I see the hatchback guy. That's him. That's him, and he's leaving the museum.
Hey!
The blue hatchback pulls away and speeds into traffic. Shannon pulls out her phone a bit too late.
The number?
No. But I know one thing for sure. If the police are going to find out if Jesse was murdered, then I will.
Shannon stares, panting. Daytime. Inside the Maritime Museum, Jennifer addresses a crowd.
So every Christmas, Jesse, he would send a calendar. And every night I would mark off another box because I knew that in June I would be heading to Lighthouse Cove to spend the summer with my favorite person in the world, Uncle Jesse. And he was always telling his funny stories and singing. And I remember that we would always sing in his truck when I'd go with my summertime friend on fishing trips. So I've asked that really amazing girl from across the street to come up here today and to sing a song for Jesse. I know that he would have loved it.
Shannon.
Shannon steps up to the front and hugs Jennifer.
Thank you.
Shannon sits on a stool. Someone hands her a guitar.
Thank you. There's a hole in my heart, so I'll carry it wherever I go.
Mac watches from the crowd.
Like a treasure that travels with me down every road.
Ned sits beside Althea. Stephen glances at the floor.
There's a hole in my heart. There's a hole in my heart. There's a hole in my heart. But it's in the shape of you.
On the museum floor, Shannon approaches Mac, who looks at the sextant and the same picture of Ned and Jesse in the case.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Everyone was so touched.
Well, except for Stephen.
Well, what about Ned?
Well, he always did like Althea.
Enough to want Jesse out of the way.
Stop! Ned was Jesse's best friend. He was the only one Jesse ever took on any of his dives. Not even my dad got that.
Statistically speaking, 80% of murder victims know the killer. And then there's the missing key under the flower pot.
Yeah, which was probably taken by the guy in the blue hatchback. A guy that did not know Jesse.
Maybe the guy who hired him did.
A hired killer.
Or a hired thief. You know, who killed to stop from getting caught. Anyway, the man in the car. Any sign of him here?
No. I've been looking.
I wish Carol had seen him the other day. Love to know what he was looking at.
I guess it's something Jesse donated.
Shannon stares in the case. In a flashback, Shannon adjusts the framed photo in the den.
Wait, Mac. This photo is in Jesse's house, too. It was hanging crooked after the break-in. How would it get that way? Unless the thief touched it or took it off the wall to look at it. What if the thief is looking for something Jesse found on the San Mateo?
That's the path we follow. We have to talk to Carol again.
Well, let's let her finish talking to everyone first.
And lose the chance to see how the others react?
Mac and Shannon approaches Stephen, Jennifer, Ned, and Althea.
Oh, Shannon. Stephen's offered to help me with the menu at the NNC Manor.
No way. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Great. Is that a paying job?
Well, of course I'm going to pay him.
Be careful with your money. A new business takes time to become profitable.
He's right. I still haven't turned a profit on my studio.
Oh, I don't think she has to worry about that. I mean, Jesse's only a close living relative. He'll inherit the whole kit and caboodle, right?
Well, I'm not even thinking about that right now. And besides, the will reading, it's not till next week.
Well, if the display back there is any indication, the museum might be the beneficiary. What do you think, Carol? Think there's anything more from the San Mateo coming your way? Maybe there's something big Jesse used to talk about.
I doubt there's anything new coming from the San Mateo. The Spanish government claimed everything except the sextant.
Well, maybe Jesse kept a little something on the down low.
Jesse wouldn't do that. He always played by the rules.
If he didn't get the legal right for something he salvaged, it'd be worthless to him anyway.
To the museum as well. That's why we kept the law firm that handled Jesse's salvage rights on speed dial.
Hey, what do you think about this as an appetizer?
Looks delicious.
Ah.
Yeah, let me see.
Nice.
Later, Mac and Shannon enter her house.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, the lawyer said that Carol was right.
Everything that Jesse salvaged from the San Mateo is accounted for. So, unless Jesse broke some rules, that wreck isn't going to lead us anywhere.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go up and get changed.
Okay.
Shannon walks up a staircase. Max stays downstairs.
Hey, did you notice how your friend Steven avoided the whole who inherited what from Jesse conversation? That's a big red flag right there. And then on the other side of things, Ned was unusually interested. He even violated the rules of polite conversation by asking Jennifer a direct question about her inheritance.
Well, he was his best friend. Maybe he thought Jesse left something for him.
You told me Ned went on some other salvage dives too with Jesse, right? Like not just the Spanish ship, so he might know if Jesse found something big. Plus, he knows where the spare key is, and didn't you say that it was his idea to go on the fishing trip the morning you found Jesse?
Shannon returns in a t-shirt.
My gut tells me that Ned Davison is hiding something. I say we go next door, and we see if we can make him crack.
Well, we're not gonna go over there and browbeat Ned.
It's the next logical step.
Mac, these are people I know and love and respect. People that were with me when my mom died. It's hard for me to watch you grill them.
Like I'm some bulldog reporter. Yeah, I get it. So maybe you should go over and talk to Ned.
Thank you.
Shannon smiles and walks to the kitchen. She returns with a paper.
Oh, I keep forgetting to give you this. It's the estimate for the renovation.
Oh.
I'll be right back.
Max stammers as he reads the paper. Shannon walks out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street, Shannon knocks on Ned's door. He answers.
Hey, Ned. Hope it's okay I've stopped by. Can I come in?
No. It's not a good time.
Ned, I have this terrible feeling Jesse's death wasn't an accident. You know about the break-in the other night? I think somebody's been searching his house. They even broke into Althea's car. And I just want to know if, you know anything that could help the police figure out what's going on. Can I please come in?
Ned looks up at Shannon. He backs away.
Ned?
Sorry.
He closes the door on Shannon. Mac is sitting in an easy chair reading the papers. Shannon returns and approaches.
That didn't take long.
He wouldn't let me in. He barely even looked at me. You were right. Ned is hiding something.
And now you've tipped him off that you know it.
Max stands and steps forward.
Shannon, you could be in danger.
Shannon scoffs, shaking her head. She stares, pondering. Daytime. Shannon enters her house carrying a paper shopping bag and a coffee cup. Mac is sleeping on the sofa inside. She squeezes his foot.
What happened?
Some watchdog you are. I already left the house and came back again, so I got you some coffee.
Said I was a bulldog, not a watchdog. Totally different animal. Where'd you go?
I told you last night, it is silly of you to spend your time keeping an eye on me. Not that I don't appreciate the chivalry.
It's not chivalrous. It's self-interest. I mean, who's gonna renovate my place if something happens to you?
Nice. Well, luckily, I don't think I'm in danger from Ned Davison, even if he is hiding something. But I do think it's a good idea if we keep an eye on Jesse's house in case the thief comes back. So?
She pulls out a security camera.
I bought a security camera.
Later, she drills the camera onto her porch. Inside, Mac looks at a laptop screen.
All right, have him up.
Not yet. Hold on a sec.
He touches a button.
Okay, picture's up, but you're gonna have to move the camera a little to your left.
On screen, the picture moves.
Your other left.
She moves the camera. Mac's face falls as Steven appears on screen. Outside, Steven approaches Shannon.
What you doing?
Oh, Steven, you scared me. installing a security system. That'd be a good idea after what happened at Jesse's.
Huh. Maybe we should install one.
I think we're good. Yeah. Anyone comes within 100 feet of those cameras, we're gonna see the whites of their eyes.
Mac grins at Steven, then returns inside.
You and the writer are hanging out a lot now. You two dating?
What? No, he's my client. My tenant.
Right. Whatever you say.
Steven turns and walks off. Shannon returns inside to Mac at the laptop.
So I'm going to set it to continuous record.
Great. Maybe we will find the criminal returning to the scene of the crime.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, I am off to that house of yours. I'm going to go meet my crew. We're going to get that bad paint off.
About what Steven was asking. Asking if we're dating?
Just not really dating right now. Not that you are not. Prime dating material. You are smart and handsome and relatively funny.
Oh, you forgot Rich.
Super rich.
Luckily, Rich was never high on my list.
Good, because I just got an estimate from my contractor. I won't be rich for very long.
And I will go get to work.
And I'm going to go to the cottage and do the same.
Yes, work is good.
Right.
Lock the door on your way out.
Mac turns to the laptop as Shannon walks out. He smiles as she walks down the steps on the screen. At the Craddock house, Shannon stands upstairs with a man in a gas mask as other workers walk the floor.
Well, 4 or 5 layers of paint. The house this size will be at least a month, so I'll get you a few more guys.
Whoa.
Shannon peeks over the banister.
Hey, Dad!
Coffee break.
Yay, I give you some.
In the yard.
Well, if you got me out here to talk me into helping you with this job, I just might consider it. This is quite the place.
Thanks, but I actually wanted to talk with you about Ned. He doesn't seem himself lately. He just seems very closed off.
You noticed.
Was he like that on your fishing trip?
Worse.
Really?
More like blowing a gasket. He was yelling at Steven. I gather Steven got himself into debt. I don't know if it was gambling or what, but Ned was uninclined to help him out. What's this all about?
Well, I'm wondering about the break-in at Jesse's. Well, the place had been ransacked, and I'm wondering what the thief was looking for. Maybe it was that something big Jesse told Carol was coming.
Jesse was usually all talk.
You know, but maybe he did find something and he was hiding it until he got the rights to it.
Well, I doubt it was the fuselage of Amelia Earhart's plane tucked away in his house. That was his big story a few years back.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Can't imagine which jurisdiction would give him the rights to Blackbeard's treasure.
I don't suppose it could be the lost necklace of the Spanish princess. I know he already got everything Spain was willing to give him.
You mean the lost necklace of the Portuguese princess?
Wait, say that again.
Nobody ever gets that story right. It was the lost necklace of the princess from Portugal, the Princess Sonia or...
Sophia.
That's it.
Oh my gosh, how could I forget? Jesse told us that story at dinner about how we found the jewelry box half buried in the mud. It was the Princess Sophia of Portugal. Dad, thank you. I gotta go.
You're welcome. I think.
Later, Mac enters Shannon's house.
Hey!
Hey!
I'm here!
He enters the kitchen.
Come here, look at this.
So, what is it? What's the urgent?
Oh, look at this. This is Princess Sophia of Portugal.
This is urgent how?
Wait till I tell you her story.
Okay.
When Sophia was 16, she fell in love with a spice merchant. She begged her dad to let her marry him, but the king had already betrothed her to Prince Ferdinand of Spain.
Neat.
To convince his daughter to go through with the wedding, he made her a necklace. It was an extravagant necklace. It was made of gold and diamonds and emeralds, a necklace that today they think would be worth about $10 million.
That's a lot of millions.
He gave it to her the morning of the wedding, but Sophia never showed. It was rumored that she eloped with the spice merchant. Now, guess which year this happened?
Tell me.
1788. It's the same year the San Mateo sank. I think Sophia and the necklace went down with the ship, and I think Jesse found this necklace on that wreck.
But then why didn't go back to Spain, along with everything else?
Because the necklace belonged to Portugal and not Spain. I reached out to the law firm that you spoke to the other day.
They said that they don't deal with the Portuguese government. There's only one law firm in the entire state that does. And they're only about 3 hours from here.
So, do you want to drive? Or shall I?
You can. Wow.
Thought I was the bulldog.
Elsewhere, Shannon and Mac in an office.
I don't show any Jesse Hennessy that's ever been a client of our firm.
Are you sure? Did you try different spellings of his last name?
Yes, I tried it with one N, one S. If you knew the name of the specific attorney that your friend saw, that might help.
We don't. We were hoping you could tell us.
Sorry.
Okay, well, this was a shot in the dark anyway. We appreciate your help.
Sure. I was so sure we were on the right track.
I know. We're on the right track.
Mac walks over to a wall of headshots.
Wait, that's the
guy with the blue car.
Shannon takes the photo of the front desk.
This is our friend's attorney. Can you tell us his name?
Well, that's Andrew Goss.
We would like to talk to him as soon as we can.
I'm afraid that's impossible. Mr. Gosson died 2 months ago.
Mac and Shannon stare at each other.
I don't understand. You're saying that this man died months ago?
Yes. Same day as Mr. Duarte, the founder of our firm. There was an explosion on Mr. Duarte's boat. The whole thing sank. The Coast Guard could find hardly any of the remains. We were devastated.
No. That's impossible.
Would you excuse us? We'll hang this back up for you. So sorry.
Mac and Shannon step away and return the photo to the wall.
I don't get it. How is the lawyer who's supposed to be dead not really be dead?
No. Maybe he faked his death.
What about his boss, Duarte?
Okay. If he's really dead, it's either an accident or
murder? What if Andrew Gosson murdered his boss and then Jesse just to get his hands on the necklace?
It's one explanation.
So do we tell her that he's still alive?
Put targets on our back? No. No, we take what we have to Chief Jensen.
You're right.
We should get a photo.
Okay.
Shannon takes the photo of Gosson's headshot. Now, Mac and Shannon sit at Tommy's desk.
So let me get this straight. You think Jesse found a famous necklace of a Spanish princess?
It's a Portuguese princess.
And he hired a lawyer to help him get the rights to this, and this lawyer supposedly died in some sort of explosion, but he didn't actually die?
Yes. I saw him once, Mac saw him twice, and he drives a blue hatchback.
Can we talk to whatever detective is investigating Jesse's death?
Well, no, that's a case-closed situation. The death was ruled accidental.
But after the break-in?
And now everything we just told you?
I'll talk to the chief first thing tomorrow. But I know what he's gonna say unless we have hard evidence of criminal activity.
I have this. Hang on. I took this picture of Althea's broken window. That's Andrew Gosson's car parked across the street. Do you think we're making this up?
No. In fact, I saw a blue hatchback just like this yesterday.
Wait, you saw that car? Where did you see it, Tommy?
Shannon, you know I can't tell you that. Why don't you just wait until I get in touch with the chief, okay?
Yes, do that. But in the meantime, tell us where you saw the car. Or do I have to remind you of all the times I let you copy off my homework?
Tommy fidgets.
Come on.
Elsewhere, Mac walks out of a motel office.
The clerk says, yeah, our guy's staying here. And yeah, he drives a blue hatchback, room 25.
How did you get all that information out of her?
Because I'm charming. Also, they were 20 bucks.
Hey, wait, where are you going? His car's in here.
Wow, he may have left a key under the flower pot.
Mac approaches room 25.
Hey, I can see in the window.
Messy bed, binoculars, box. What's in that? A bag with a balloon.
That's a yoga mat. I bet that's the one stolen out of Althea's car. I'm gonna go talk to her.
Okay. Can you drop it back at the house? I'm gonna come back and see if the not quite dead lawyer will turn up.
Later, Shannon shows Althea Gosson's picture.
I can tell by your face you recognize him.
I do. I just can't seem to place him.
I think he's been following you.
Why would you think that?
Because this is the man who broke into your car. Mac Sullivan saw him outside Jesse's house just before your window was smashed.
You're right, her friend. You saw him?
His name's Andrew Gosson. He's a lawyer Jesse hired to help him get claim to a famous necklace that I think he found. Did Jesse ever tell you anything about it?
Well, he told me that story about the Spanish princess.
It's actually a Portuguese princess.
So you really think this man is following me? Why?
He might think you have the necklace, or maybe you know where it is.
Well, I don't know anything about it.
I'm sorry, I didn't come here to try and scare you.
Well, I did. I just don't know how I'm gonna feel safe all alone here at night.
Maybe you could stay with Jennifer at Hennessy Manor, just until I can get all this sorted out.
Shannon, how are you gonna do that?
I'm going to do whatever it takes to find this necklace.
Shannon approaches Ned's house. She walks up the front door and knocks. Ned answers.
If you're here to wind me up about Jesse again, don't.
Ned, I know about the necklace. I know it's not just another crazy Jesse story. And I know you were probably there and you must have seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Why haven't you said anything?
Because he asked me not to, that's why. Not until he got legal right to it.
Do you know where it is? Like, where he hid it?
No, I never wanted to know, and I told him it was bad luck to keep it.
He wasn't going to keep it. He was donating it to the museum.
Sure, but like I told him, you can't just let millions of dollars sit around. And I was right, too. He told me his lawyer got killed, and now Jesse gone in a freak accident.
No, I told you, Jesse's death, I don't think it was an accident.
Well, the police said it was.
Ned, Jesse's lawyer isn't dead. He's alive. I saw him here in town. Max saw him on this street the day after Jesse died.
Ned glances over at the driveway. Steven is pulling up in his car.
Look, I know Steven's been having money problems. Did he know that Jesse was hiding the necklace?
I don't want to hear another word about this. It's nonsense. All of it.
Ned slams the door as Steven approaches.
Guess the old man's mood isn't much better than when I left this morning. What did you say to him?
I was asking him about you, actually. If you knew about the $10 million necklace Jesse's been hiding.
What are you talking about?
The lost necklace of the Princess of Portugal.
Can't say I remember that one.
It's not a story. He actually found it. Your dad just admitted it.
Huh. Who would have thunk?
Steven walks by and opens the front door.
Oh, so hey, Jennifer wanted me to tell you that we're doing a recipe tasting on Friday. You should come. Bring your client, you're not really dating.
Steven grins and closes the door. Shannon turns. A bolt of lightning lights the night sky. Max sits in his car in the motel parking lot on the phone.
So Steven was completely uninterested that a multi-million dollar necklace might be hiding right across the street from him?
Yeah, that's how it seemed to me.
Well, that lack of interest isn't normal. He's hiding something.
Yeah, his dad seemed to be worried about that. Oh, I got a hold of Tommy. He talked to Chief Jensen, and he wants to see us both first thing in the morning.
Well, at least there's that. Maybe Andrew Cawson will turn up by then.
Are you really going to sit out in the parking lot all night?
Oh, I'm a night person.
Well, I'm going to be here watching Jesse's house on the security camera. Maybe Andrew Cawson will show up here.
All right, whoever sees him first wins.
Oh, yeah. Wins what?
Dinner.
Or lunch.
All right, talk to you later.
Mac hangs up. Shannon smiles. Max sits in his car, sleeping in the driver's seat. His window is open. He wakes in time to see a car pull away. A body rolls on the asphalt nearby. Mac chases the car out of the parking lot, a white sedan. He returns to the parking lot. The body still lays on the asphalt. He runs up and holds his fingers to the man's neck, then lets go and looks around. Daytime. Shannon wakes in her couch. Her laptop is open on the table nearby. On the laptop screen, Police cars are visible in the yard outside. She watches as police officers approach Ned's house. She puts on a jacket and walks out. She notices Tommy.
Tommy! What's going on?
We're here to arrest Steven.
What? What for?
For the hit-and-run murder of Andrew Gosson. So go back in the house.
Shannon stares. Shannon watches as the cops gather outside Ned's house. Mac dashes up.
Hey.
Mac.
Yeah.
Police are here. They're trying to arrest Steven for...
We're running down Andrew Gosson. I know. I called them. I saw a silver car fleeing the scene.
Are you sure it was his?
Yeah. I got the license plate this time.
It's just so hard to believe. This could be my fault. I'm the one that told Ned and Steven that Andrew Gosson is alive and still in town.
No one here, Chief. House is empty. There's no Steven Davison, no Ned Davison.
Put out an APB on one Steven Davison, age 33, brown hair, blue eyes.
I'm gonna call my dad.
Sorry, I missed your call.
It's my small. Dad, where are you? The police are here. They're trying to arrest Steven, and he's missing, and so is Ned, and you're not answering. Just call me as soon as you can. What is going on?
I don't know.
I better get to Jennifer and Althea. I'm going to tell them what's happening.
Okay, I'm going to stay here.
All right.
Shannon walks off.
Shannon, be careful.
She nods and continues walking. Later, Shannon sits with Jennifer and Althea at the Hennessy Manor.
Okay, so Steven, he intentionally killed someone with his car. That, I don't believe that. He's been here every day this week and he's being so sweet.
I was afraid something was wrong. The way Ned sounded on the phone last night.
Ned called you?
He called to say he was sorry how things had gone haywire. And then he said, but I'm gonna get what I want and I'll do whatever it takes. Well, I thought he was planning on asking me out again, but his voice was so strange.
Maybe he was talking about the necklace. Maybe Steven and Ned are working together to try and find it.
Shannon, what are you talking about? These people, they're practically our family.
I know, but you said yourself, Steven's been here constantly. Maybe he's trying to figure out if you have it.
I mean, I don't believe it. You know, Steven and I, we're finally starting to get close.
I don't think we should stay here.
Maybe you shouldn't. At least not until the police find Steven and they can sort this whole thing out.
Okay, so where are we gonna stay?
Well, I have a friend that has a big house near the city. I'm sure she would let us stay with her.
Perfect. Pack up and go as soon as you can. I'm gonna see what I can find out from the police. I'll call you as soon as it's safe to come back.
Okay.
Thank you, Althea.
Shannon at home.
Hey, Dad. It's me again. There's so much going on and you're not answering. I'm starting to worry. Please call me back.
Shannon opens her fridge. When she closes it, Steven appears, covering her mouth.
Don't scream, okay? You can't scream. I'm not gonna hurt you, okay? I'm here because I need your help. I'm going to let you go now, okay? But please, just hear me out.
Shannon nods. Steven backs away.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. It's just, I'm really, really desperate here. The police are trying to arrest me for something I didn't do.
Steven, there was a witness. They saw you run down Andrew Gossett.
Okay, first, I have no idea who that is. And second of all, maybe somebody did see my car, but they didn't see me, okay? Because I was at home sleeping all night. And when I went outside in the morning, my car wasn't in the driveway.
You're saying your car got stolen?
Yes. And I was standing outside getting ready to call the police when all these cop cars come rushing up and I was scared. And I get over here what they were saying and they're accusing me of hit and run and murder. But that wasn't me. Shannon, that wasn't me. Okay? And you have a security camera on your front porch. You can prove me innocent.
Shannon's laptop at the police station.
There he is. That's him.
Okay, the guy I saw coming out of Jesse's house, that's what he was wearing. Bulky black jacket, just like that.
So if we can't identify a face, it could be Davison here for all we know.
Whoa. You think I'd fake breaking into my own car? That wasn't me, okay? Ask my dad. He'll tell you I was at home all night.
Steven, nobody knows where your dad is.
He's not at home?
No.
Yeah, if you're home all night, then I'd think you know he wasn't there now, wouldn't you?
Tell them, Shannon. Please, okay? Tell them you know that's not me in that video stealing my own car.
That's probably my dad. Maybe he can tell us where Ned is. Excuse me.
Shannon steps out into a hallway.
Hey, Dad.
Shannon. Oh my God, Shannon.
Jen, is that you?
Shannon, please, you have to help me.
Jen, are you okay?
Shannon Hughes, listen carefully.
Who is this?
I have your friends.
Who is this? Ned?
If you want to see them alive again, you'll bring me the necklace.
I don't have the necklace. I don't even know where it is.
Then you better find it. I'll call you in exactly 3 hours and tell you where you can trade it for the lives of Jennifer and Althea.
No, please don't do this. I have no idea.
If you tell the police anything about this, anything at all, your friends will die.
Shannon hangs up and turns to Mac.
Something's happened.
Shannon and Mac rummage through Jesse's house.
It's already been an hour. What if we can't find it? What if Jennifer and Althea are already dead?
Don't think about it. We're going to find it. We just need to focus on what we're doing.
If it really is Ned that snatched them, it's not the Ned I've always known.
Well, sometimes money makes people forget who they are.
Shannon shines a light on a nearby wood panel.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, I think I found something. This wainscoting. It's been replaced.
She pulls the paneling away, revealing a back wall.
Nothing.
It's all right. We'll keep looking.
In another room, Mac opens a box. Shannon examines a column.
Wait a minute. This has a different finish. This part's been patched over.
She hammers through. Behind the wall is wiring in a box.
Nothing. Nothing but an old electrical box.
She sits, sighing. Max sits across from her.
Maybe it's time to call the police.
Like that would do any good.
Why do you say that?
It doesn't matter.
It does. It matters to me. What's going on?
I had just started college. My dad was out of town on a job. But my mom, she said she could drive up. But she never showed. And I knew something was wrong. I called the police and I begged them to go look for her. But they said I had to wait the 24-hour period. They found her the next morning. Her car had slid into a ditch. It got below zero that night.
Shannon looks down and sobs. Mac moves to sit next to her.
What do you want to do?
I want to find that necklace.
Shannon stands. They return to the kitchen. Mac opens a cabinet.
Oh, we already looked there.
I'm thirsty.
Wait a minute. Something looks off. I built these cabinets for Jesse, and I did not put that board there.
They remove the glasses and plates inside.
Yeah, hand me. Yeah.
Mac hands her pliers. She pulls back the board, revealing a necklace.
We found it!
You found it.
They hug.
Oh, hey. It's a letter from Duarte, Goodman, and Betancourt. Dear Mr. Hennessy, we regret to inform you that the salvage claim 44843 has been denied.
Please be advised that if you attempt to sell item 44843, you will be subject to prosecution for violations under the Marine Salvage Act. Blah, 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 blah. Signed sincerely, Andrea Fleming, assistant to Andrew Gosson, Esquire. So, Jesse didn't have the rights to the necklace.
Well, it seems odd that the assistant to the lawyer would sign an Amber letter and not her boss.
Oh, it's my dad, finally. Dad, where are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine. We heard the salmon were running this morning, so we went out early to try our luck.
Wait, Ned's with you? Has he been with you all morning?
Yep. He's in the sour mood, though. Didn't get a single bite.
Shannon, you gotta see this.
Dad, I gotta go.
Okay.
Max shows a picture of Althea.
Why are you showing me a picture of Althea?
I'm not. This is a photo from the law firm's website. This is a picture of Andrea Fleming.
What?
She must be the one who stole Stephen's car and ran down her boss, Andrew Gosson.
So she killed Jesse. And now she has Jennifer.
Shannon shakes her head. The necklace sits on the kitchen counter beside the law firm letter. Nearby, Mac and Shannon pace. Shannon holds her phone.
Hello.
Do you have the necklace?
Yes, I found it. It was with a letter to Jesse. A letter signed by somebody named Andrea Fleming. I know it's you, Althea. I know your real name is Andrea. You can quit disguising your voice.
I bet Jesse's claim on the necklace was actually proved, wasn't it? And you wrote him a letter saying it had been denied?
Then you got rid of Andrew Gosson and his boss, and you moved out here, and you tricked Jesse into falling in love with you to get your hands on a necklace. Am I close, Andrea?
Althea stands in a field.
Do you want to see Jennifer alive again or not?
You better not hurt her.
Meet me at the lighthouse 4 o'clock with the necklace.
No police, just you. And if I see any signs of
someone else with you, Jennifer will die.
Althea hangs up. Shannon sighs and hangs up. Near the lighthouse sign over the bridge, Althea approaches her car. She opens her trunk. Inside, Jennifer is bound and gagged.
Your smarty pants friend is gonna get you killed. Mm-hmm. But at least then, your terrible week will be over.
In Shannon's kitchen.
Okay, I know you don't have a lot of faith in the police.
We are not calling them. She said she would kill Jennifer, and I believe her.
She might kill her anyway, and then kill you too.
Then we'll come up with a plan, a way to stop her.
Shannon begins to walk out, then returns and picks up the necklace. Mac grins. A dusky sunset. Near the lighthouse, Althea drives her car and parks in the parking lot beside Shannon's truck. Althea gets out and glances around. Shannon stands on the landing outside the lighthouse. Althea climbs up the steps as Shannon climbs down. They approach each other.
Where's the necklace?
Where's Jennifer?
Althea pulls out a phone.
It's live. Go ahead. Talk to her.
Jennifer. I am coming to get you out.
Althea puts the phone away.
Where is she? First, the necklace.
Not until I have Jennifer.
I don't mean to be crude. But I will be the one who decides when you get Jennifer. Now the necklace.
Althea aims a gun.
I left it on the viewing deck. You can get the necklace while I get Jennifer. It's only fair.
This is not about fair. Look, don't make me use this awful gun. I hate guns. I prefer other weapons. And today's weapon is leverage. I hold Jennifer's life in my hands. Though, it's good to have insurance. Now take me to the necklace.
Shannon turns and walks up.
I know you were in Jesse's house the night he died.
I've been in Jesse's house every night for a week before he died.
Did Jesse even fall or did you kill him?
I liked Jesse. He was very adoring. I could have married him, but he would have donated that necklace anyway.
So you did kill him.
Well, technically, the fall killed him, saving me the trouble of having to bash him in the head myself.
You are a psychopath.
No. I was an assistant to a psychopath. It was Andrew's idea to cheat Jesse out of that necklace. He even came up with the idea for me to win Jesse's affection so that I could lure him away from the house while Andrew searched it.
But you didn't want to split the $10 million.
Why should I? When I was the one that did all the work preparing the papers and winning the claim.
So you tried to kill him and his boss because he knew about the necklace too by rigging an explosion on a boat?
I thought I got them both. It was you who told me that Andrew was still alive and trying to steal the necklace out from under me.
You must be planning to shoot me. Why else would you tell me all of this?
I told you, I am not a psychopath. Look, I will be long gone by the time you go rescue little Jenny and tell the police what you know. I'll be on my way to a nice, warm, sunny country where no one will ever find me. Now move! I got a plane to catch.
Shannon turns and continues walking. They turn the corner. Althea's jaw drops.
You left it on the rail like that? You idiot!
Althea pushes Shannon aside and dashes over to the observation patio. Althea picks up the necklace and smiles. The floor gives way below Althea, and she falls. Below the deck, Althea grasps at her leg.
Well, Andrea, my weapon today is knowledge. You see old wooden decks? They begin to lean on just a few steel lag bolts at a time. You take those out, the whole thing falls apart.
Althea reaches for the gun. Max's footsteps on it. He picks up the gun.
Did you tell him where Jennifer is yet?
No, and I will never tell you now.
She doesn't have to. From what I saw, Jennifer's laying on a floor made of stone. It's the same stone that made up the Craddock Fort.
Oh.
Mac picks up the necklace.
Can we call the police now?
Yeah.
Shannon and Tommy walk down to a stone cellar.
Jen, where are you? Are you here? Jen! I think I hear her.
They open an old door. Inside, Jennifer sits, bound and gagged.
Jen. Don't worry, you're safe.
Now, at the museum, the necklace sits in a case beside a picture of a princess. Jennifer stands at a lectern addressing a crowd.
And on that note, I hereby dedicate this new section of the Maritime Museum, the Jesse Hennessy Memorial Room.
In the crowd, Ned and Stephen lift glasses. Shannon and Max smile as Jennifer cuts a ribbon.
And a very special thank you to my amazing friend, Shannon Hughes, who made this possible. And who also saved my life. Thank you, Shannon.
Shannon smiles and mouths thank you. Mac leans over to her.
I second the amazing part.
Thank you.
Now about the renovation on my fixer-upper, there's a couple things we need to discuss.
No, you're not going to renegotiate my quote.
Well, you haven't even heard my terms.
I don't know.